Hello, and welcome to Python for Informatics. Right now we're going to cover Chapter 1. I'm Charles Severance from the University of Michigan, and I'm the author, and I'll be your lecturer for this online lecture of the first chapter of the book. This lecture and my slides and the book, as a matter of fact, are all open. Open content, open materials. They're copyright Creative Commons attribution. And this video recording is also copyright Creative Commons attribution. It's important to be explicit about copyright, and so I say it right at the beginning. So computers basically want to be helpful. They are programmed. Matter of fact, this is a microprocessor. This is really just an electrical part. It's got wires and circuits inside of it. And somebody spent a lot of engineering time to make it so that these pins in the back take instructions from us, from operating systems, from the hard drive, from the memory. Instructions come into here, and then results come out. It's really sort of a very programmable hand calculator. And it's our job to put instructions in. This thing, in a sense, is wired to be curious about what's next, right? It's like, tell me what you want to do next. What do you want to do next? What do you want to do next? And after that, what do you want to do next? And it just happens to do that a billion or so times a second. And so that's sort of the low-level piece. But you can also think, if you have like a PDA, something like this, all the buttons on here are some kind of, you know, what's next, right? Each of those is sort of something begging for my attention. Some application developer who's built a really cool application and says, please use me, please click me. I am sort of nothing without you. We humans are the things that sort of cause computers to start doing something. And this will sit here happily until I've caused it to do something. Now, whoa. Hope it's still okay. Yeah, seems to be fine. Takes a lick and keeps on ticking. So these anyone can use, right? They say even animals can use a Macintosh smartphone. And so you don't have to be a programmer. But to get this to do what you want, you need to learn a different language. And we need to learn the language of the instructions to tell it what to do. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to learn how to talk to this. Yo, because it's asking us a question, we have to give the answer. So what's a programmer? A programmer is somebody who writes a program, which is a script or a set of instructions that tell one of these kinds of things what it is that they're supposed to do. And sometimes you're running a program like Moodle, an open source learning management system, or Sakai, another open source learning management system. And sometimes you'll even get paid to do that, right? Sometimes you do it for free, sometimes you get paid. Sometimes you write things for yourself. But if you think about it, all these applications on my iPhone, somebody's making some money off of these. They may not be able to quit their job, but a surprising number have been able to quit their job or start small companies. Maybe not gigantic companies, but small companies. So these people that can put applications inside of our computers are programmers, because they understand the way that we talk to these computers. And part of what I'm going to try to do is to get you to move from the mindset of the end user who thinks of this as something just to click on to the mindset of the programmer who's kind of on the inside trying to get out to you. So that's, as we sort of move from user to programmer, we move from outside to inside. And we think of the world out there. It's like, what are they going to push? What button are they going to push? So here's kind of a picture of that. So on the outside, we're users. We click on buttons. We click on websites. We click on buttons on our phones, et cetera, et cetera. But what's really going on inside of all that is there's a computer with a bunch of hardware inside of that. And it has inside of it data, networks, other information. And software is what makes all that make sense. And so part of what I want you to do is I want you to stop thinking about how to use these things from the outside. And we move to becoming a programmer. We're someone on the inside. We're with the CPU. We're with the memory. We are with the network connection. We are doing things on behalf of the user and presenting them back up to the user. So why be a programmer? Now, this class is specifically not trying to turn you into a professional programmer, even though I'd be very proud if after 5, 10 more classes, you were a professional programmer. But that's not the purpose of this class. sometimes you just want to get something done. You got an Excel spreadsheet at work, and the data is not right. You got the data from somebody else, and it's got like extra spaces where it shouldn't have it, or the missing fields, or something. You got to do something to it that Excel can't do, and you're stuck like saying, "Oh, I want to mess with this data and put it in Excel so I can do my job," but it's a pain in the neck, and I have to sit and bring it into a text editor like Microsoft Word and go line by line and make all kinds of mistakes and clean the data up. You can write a program to do that, and that's the kind of programs we're going to do, programs that serve our needs inside the computer, but to serve our needs. Professional programmers tend to build things for other people to use, right? They tend to build things that everyone else does, but we're going to build stuff primarily for ourselves. So, what is code? What is software? We use these words pretty much independently. A program, it's really a sequence of stored instructions. We learn the language that this talks, and then we will feed the instructions in one at a time. It takes them one at a time. It gives us back a result. We give it a next one. Give it back, in, out, in, out. So it's really a sequence of stored instructions. But it's kind of more than that. It's sort of like our creativity. And if you've been using some of my software, like my MOOC software, I spent about a month writing all that stuff. And it's like, it's me. I mean, it's my vision of how cool stuff ought to work, right? And so it's more than just getting something done. It's also a sense of pride and a sense of accomplishment, especially if you're giving something that other people can make use of. It's really, I think it's very creative. And it's what attracted me to being a programmer in the first place, is that I could leverage the capabilities inside of here, and I could do things, the cool things, on behalf of the user. So, code, software, a program. So let's get a non-technical example of this. So I'll have you link out to the YouTube for this. This is the Macarena. The Macarena is a song that has with it a well-known dance that everyone seems to know or either get taught very quickly. So I'll stop and let you watch the Macarena and then come back. So welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that. In a sense, what we've got there is a program for human beings. And maybe you learned that at a club or something, and they told you what to do next. Well, I can teach you how to do the Macarena by writing a simple program right now. So here's my Macarena. While the music plays, means you do it over and over and over again, to the beat. That's kind of like computers. They do things in a beat. They happen to have 3 billion beats a second, but as it were. So we're going to do this multiple times. So we have this whole group of instructions that we're going to do, right? Left hand out and up, right hand out and up, flip left hand, flip right hand, left hand to right shoulder, right hand to left shoulder, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this particular little program has a mistake in it. Actually, several. I want you to look and see if you can find the mistakes in the program. Okay, so here are the places that have the mistake, right? The mistake is right hand to the back of the head and left hand to right hit, not hip. Now, if you're in a bar and you take a ham and you hit somebody in the back of the head, that's not very nice when you're dancing to this song. These are what's called bugs. Now, a human reading this would say, oh, I think they meant to say hand here. But a computer is much more literal than people. We'll see a couple of exercises where we'll see that people can correct little mistakes like this, but computers, they cannot, right? So we have to fix these bugs, and we have to say right hand, and we have to say hip when we mean hip. So we have to be explicit. Computers do exactly what we say. They don't do what we mean to do. So let's clear that. Here's another example, okay? Let's see how this comes out. You're supposed to count the number of times the word the appears in this sentence. Count it. And the word the, how many times? Okay. It's your turn. Now here, this is not something humans are good at. I moved it around, I played a little music, I confused you, I put a picture of a clown car in the upper left-hand corner, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now it turns out that computers, once we tell them what to do, are very good at concentration. It can easily go through 30 words and find the most common word, or 3 million words and find the most common word. And it'll never make a mistake. But we first have to give it a set of instructions. So I want you to learn this right now. But this is a Python program. Let's say that I wanted to let you count words in files. Okay? I say, hey, I know how to program Python. I'll send you an email, and I'll send you this program. Just stick it into Python, and it'll count words for you. Right? You got a million words, million lines in a file. You want to find the most common word. And so here we go. So I will send you this file called words.py. I spend a little time. It's a friendly gift to you. And this is what I type in. Now I'll give you kind of an outline of what this is going to do. The first thing it's going to do is open a file and read it. Then it's going to split the lines and files into words based on the spaces. Then it's going to run through and accumulate numbers, like, you know, this word is 1, this word is 1. Oh, I saw that one again, so I turned that to 2. That's what this does. It's a loop. It goes round and round and round, one for each word. Then what we're going to do is we're going to write another loop that's going to figure out which is the most common word by looking through all those little histograms that we built up. And then it's going to print those things out at the very end. And this can certainly do pythonwords.py and read clown.txt and tell us that the word the occurs 7 times. But you know, it can find out that a different thing has the word 2 and occurs 16 times. And it's just as fast. And it's so you have to learn a language and you have to tell it what to do. But once you do, it'll do it for a million or a billion words and be happily. And so you don't have to do menial work once you understand the way to instruct the computer to do menial work.